Season family, how are y'all doing? What's good? What's going on today? Well, I am thrilled to bring you a conversation that has been a long time in the making. Barkley is one of my friends, and she is actually the creator of that beautiful logo that you see on all the Nah, I Know My Value swag. Whitney and I were having a conversation one day, and she was inspired. One of her many skills, she is a beast with the graphic design, and I'm so blessed that she gifted me this beautiful logo. The backstory of that is what you will find in today's conversation. So we got on Clubhouse, we talked for about an hour or so, but you're only gonna hear 30 minutes of the conversation today, which let me not say but only, because it is a really good 30 minutes. I am biased, y'all. And you get to hear under the hood some of my backstory that I really don't share that often. So you'll hear from the context of Nah, I Know My Value and what that means. You will also hear in this episode us reference the club, people in the audience coming to the stage. That's because in the Clubhouse environment, there's a speaker's row, there's a friends of the speaker's row, and then there's the general Clubhouse community who listen in on the conversation. So this conversation was recorded in the club that I created, Women Who Negotiate. You are welcome to join us. Inside of our show notes is a link to the club if you want to join. You are more than welcome. You can skip the wait list with this special invite below. I'm also linking up to Whitney's beautiful books and products. She is a phenomenal person, and I am so thankful that she interviewed me. All right, enough of me talking. Y'all, let's hop into the episode. As I began to really experience it, I saw that this is just such a beautiful community where we can share so much on the topic of negotiation. So I'm thrilled to have you all join us in this club. If you want to be a member of the club, just tap the greenhouse above and you will be able to join in and be alerted when we have different conversations on the topic of negotiation. So part of my story with negotiation we'll get into in a bit, and a lot of the swag that I sell on my website is Nah, I Know My Value. And I was talking, Whitney, we'll get into this in just a bit, but if anyone's seen the sweatshirts, the t-shirts, the coffee mugs, the hats, Whitney actually designed the Nah, I Know My Value logo that you see everywhere. So Whitney, I don't know if I've had a chance to publicly thank you for doing that. So I want to, if I haven't done it publicly before, thank you again for using your amazing talents and giving me this beautiful gift.
Oh, it was necessary. Like, we literally had a conversation and she said something, Nah, I Know My Value. And then like, I just couldn't hear anything else. That's the only thing that I heard. And I immediately just opened my Photoshop and started working. So thank you. Thank you for that conversation. Whatever we talked about, I know it was life-changing.
Aw, thanks. All right, so I got the podcast equipment hooked up, so we are ready to go. I'm excited to dive into the conversation. I see Carla, Ida, Angela, Yvonne has joined in. So welcome to this conversation, you all.
Hello, ladies.
So let me kick off our conversation tonight by introducing you to Miss Whitney Barkley. She is a phenomenal creator, a very talented writer and author. She is what I call a marketing maven. One of the things you'll see in her Clubhouse bio is that she turns Oprah-style interviews into captivating social media posts, emails, website copy, lead magnets, and information products through the Speakerizzi exclusive. She has also released a very popular and beautiful children's book, Hey Black Girl. It is available now. Whitney founded Speakerizzi, and it's been a game changer in so many lives of women who are entrepreneurs and women who have careers. She is also the host of a top-rated podcast, the Pink Lemonade Podcast. So I encourage you all to follow Whitney on all the social media channels. And more importantly than all of those titles, Whitney is one of my friends. And she has been someone who rocks with me, who I can vent to, who encourages me. And as I shared with you a few minutes ago, gave me this beautiful gift of that logo when I was saying, nah, I know my value.
Wow. I feel like I need to thank the Academy. Thank you, Jacqueline. That was great. I'm super excited to be here with you all and really to help facilitate this conversation, because knowing your value is something that a lot of people take for granted. A lot of times we're given things that we don't think that we have the opportunity to negotiate or to say no. We kind of just roll with the flow. But people like Jacqueline have really enabled me to understand that you don't always have to take the first offer. You don't always have to accept what people give you. So we really want to kind of dive into the weeds of that conversation. And what I'm most excited about is really to hear Jacqueline Twilley's story. Now, if you've been following Jacqueline, you know, she's really accomplished. You've seen her in Forbes. You've seen her in all these other publications. She's the author of 2 best-selling books and a top-rated podcast. But it took a lot to get to this moment. And Jacqueline, I really want to start with really going through your story, because now you're like this master negotiator, but little do people know, like, your background is very diverse. You've done a lot of different things. So let's talk just a little bit about how you started and how we've gotten up to this point now.
Yes, thank you so much, Whitney. So the way that I started my career, I'll start with the job where I realized that I blew a negotiation. When I was an undergraduate student on campus, just walking around the yard one day, one of my peers told me that Victoria's Secret was hiring. So I went to the table in the student union, signed up for a seasonal job at Victoria's Secret, and became a temporary sales girl there. And my manager, who is now passed on, Mercedes, she really saw something in me and began to train me for a management role, although I was just seasonal. So fast forward, I learned a lot about talking to people, about sales techniques through the trainings of Victoria's Secret, and I was always given prizes for being one of the top credit card people, which, hindsight, I wish I would have known more about financial wellness, because I probably would not have been pushing those credit cards with those doggone high interest rates, but that's another story. So fast forward, when I went to graduate school, I was getting my MBA with a concentration in leadership, and I had to work my way through school. So I transferred to Victoria's Secret from Louisiana to Ohio, and it was in that phase where a management role opened up. And to the credit of Mercedes, who saw something in me before I saw it in myself, I was able to apply for that position and had all of the skills where I could step in day one as a trained employee and become a manager. So I started this career in retail as a manager, getting my MBA full time. And it got to the point where I was sleeping in my store sometimes because we didn't have a store manager, so I was picking up a lot of shifts, and I realized that the most important thing wasn't for me to be a retail manager. The most important thing was for me to finish my MBA program. So I ended up leaving there, and through the university, Tiffin University, my graduate school, I got a job at one of the USA Today properties. Gannett owned this newspaper in Fremont, Ohio, and I became an outside salesperson selling newspaper ads and online ads, which was very foundational given that my bachelor's degree is in marketing. So fast forward, I graduate, I leave the newspaper, and it's 2009. So the recession is hitting hard. It's hard for people to get jobs. I'm a little bit scared and a little bit hopeful, having that new graduate naivete and not really having experienced a recession before, very much naive about the total magnitude of what a recession was. So I get a job at AT&T working in their advertising and publishing division. And that's really where I got to work with a myriad of businesses, small, medium-sized businesses on their marketing and advertising campaigns, and working with them on digital media, traditional yellow page media. And in that time, was just recognized as a rising star in AT&T. And so what I began to do was work on internal marketing, which was this beautiful gift to work for an international brand, AT&T, and to have a job that I didn't apply for working in internal marketing. So fast forward, I did a dip. AT&T was going through some things. I took a package to leave, and I ended up working in staffing and recruiting. Y'all, that was not my cup of tea at all. So in and out within a year, and here comes a major career pivot. I began to speak to my mentors and look for other opportunities, and I landed a job in global health at the Center for Disease Control, working in disease eradication and elimination. And so I was there when Ebola was the scariest thing that we were talking about. And during this time of me working at the Center for Disease Control, I was praying. I was on this major spiritual journey of what is my purpose in life? A 3-year prayer praying the same thing. What is my purpose? And as a result of that, all of these things happened. I was insanely curious. I was chasing different things. And I recognized that professional development was a deep passion. Through every job that I had, I was heavily invested in professional development. And from that, I was able to become elected the CDC's Young Professional Vice President, running professional development for all of the young professionals within CDC worldwide. And then also I took on a role as a volunteer for Labo League, which is a tech startup community that no longer exists, running professional development for women in Atlanta. And I did that for over a year. During these overlaps, I wrote my first book, Navigating the Career Jungle, and that became a bestseller and stayed on the bestseller list for 4 months.
Wow. So you went through quite a few different career changes. You started at AT&T, you went into staffing, then you worked to the CDC. But in the midst of your career and all of these changes, where do you feel that there was an opportunity for you not to drop the ball or for you to recognize your value? Like, what was really that true aha moment for you?
So let me go back for a second, because when I was working at Victoria's Secret, I negotiated when I became a manager, and I had no negotiation technique and no negotiation strategy. But I knew in order for me to take on a management role, they had to give me more money. And my mom was like, girl, you just be happy that they're giving you more money. Calm down. And I went in and I asked for more and I got it. But fast forward, when I started working at the newspaper, I remember just being so excited to have this opportunity. And I had interviewed with them, maybe 3 rounds of interviews. So the number, I was familiar with the company's phone number. And when they called, I was sitting in my Jeep. I remember it just like it was yesterday. And my heart was pounding. And I'm thinking, is this the call where they give me the offer? And I answer. And the guy on the other line, we exchanged pleasantries. And he says, hey, we want to offer you the job. And he gives me the details. And internally, I am screaming, oh my God, thank you for picking me and giving me a job. But to him, all he hears is silence. And that is a negotiation technique. But for me, it wasn't a technique. It was just like I could not say anything because I was so excited. So he says, hey, are you there? And when he said that, I was like, boom, yeah, I'll take it. So I had given away my negotiation power. That was a moment where I was just so thankful that they picked me that I didn't recognize my value to even negotiate my job offer. So there were many instances in my career when I was working a 9-to-5 where I dropped the ball negotiating. And then as an entrepreneur, over 5 years into being a full-time entrepreneur, there are other times where I've dropped the ball as a business owner and not really recognized the value that my company adds to our partners. So it's definitely a journey of now I know my value and kind of like a ping pong of having to constantly remind myself of that.
Wow. So you mentioned the word value, and value means different things to different people. I'm very curious about how do we as people understand how we define our value, right? Because I feel like when you know your value, it allows you to make different types of moves, whether you're doing it in business or you're doing it in your personal life. But how do you get to a place where you recognize and understand your own value?
Yeah, such a good question. Actualizing your value as a human, like, we are valuable, period. As women, we are valuable, period. But society will give us all of these different images of who is important and what's important, that it really conflates our view of value. One of the definitions of value is a person's principles or standard of behavior, or it can mean one's judgment of what is important in life. So when we really drill down to actualize what is value, it is oftentimes tied to what we see as what is important. And so what I have begun to see that over, I would say, almost a decade now of working with women, one of the things that I see very clearly when it comes to individuals actualizing their self-value is how important they see their contributions to society, to the world, to their families, to work. And if an individual diminishes their value, if they focus on the things that they don't do well versus the things that they do well, then they devalue themselves. Like an example of that is when women get a compliment at work and they say, "Oh, you don't have to thank me." That is a way where you're not recognizing your value. You're actually signaling to the person who's giving you a compliment that they can devalue you because you're devaluing yourself. So one of the ways to flip that, to start recognizing your value, is to be aware when you receive compliments that you are getting a compliment. And then the second part is owning it and saying flat out, thank you. So those are just like a couple of ways to actualize value.
Well, and it's so funny that you said it, because I've done that so much, because I feel like, especially as women, we try to be so modest when someone tries to tell us, like, "Oh, you're doing a good job, great work." And I know I've personally, like, when I've worked in corporate America, I've personally seen what you say about value, and value is related to what's most important to you. For me personally, I feel like once I identify what I value, it allowed me to make better decisions. Like, I feel like when you understand what you value in life, and when certain opportunities come to you, you'll recognize if it's an opportunity or a distraction. And I feel like once I got clarity on, you know, what was most important to me, it became a lot easier to say no or yes to specific things.
Yeah, that is so true, hands down. Like, it's a journey, and it's not one of those things where you flip a switch and you instantly know. You have to go through life experiences, and through those life experiences, kind of like having a 2020 reflective lens to be able to zoom out and say, okay, well, this was this situation and I should have recognized my value there. And from those lessons that you learn, then you'll be able to change the tide and really begin to fully actualize your value.
And so, Jacqueline, it's so interesting. A lot of people throw around the word worth and value. Like, people use them almost synonymously. So for us, when we look at worth and value, are they actually the same? And if they're not the same, how do you describe those differences?
Yeah, so I like to call them cousins. They're cousins because when we look at the definition of value and worth, the part of the definition of worth is value. And that's why I think people use them interchangeably, because they are interwoven. And so they're not the same, but I like to share the definition just to level set, because sometimes our society has entangled them so much that we have to have a definition to kind of pull us back from it. So the value, the definition of worth, the noun, says the value equivalent to that of someone or something under consideration, the level at which someone or something deserves to be valued or rated. So that's why we get them mixed up, because the definition of worth is in part value. So if we go back to that previous example of someone not recognizing how they receive compliments, you don't recognize the value you add to others, and therefore, as a result of that, you're not really standing in your self-worth as a result of that. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. So they definitely have some relation, but they're not exactly the same. So I want to pivot just a little bit, because a part of understanding your value comes with understanding your boundaries. I know for me personally, that was something that was very hard for me to do. And I want to talk about the correlation between those things. So how does one's relationship with boundaries affect their overall value?
Girl, this is such a good question. Boundaries. When one is developing boundaries, strengthening their boundaries, changing their boundaries, it is a beautiful moment of self-love, actualizing your self-worth, and knowing your value. Hence, nah, I know my value. Because boundaries are this thing where we establish with others what we will and will not do. And it's not a negative thing to have boundaries. It's actually really healthy for us to have boundaries and to stand in them. So for instance, and I was just working with a client last week, and I was telling her that one of the ways that she can signal to her community that she knows her values is to have boundaries around the services that she offers. And instead of trying to do everything and put everything under an umbrella, to clearly state that this is the cutoff point for this and that, and that will also help her negotiate. But having that boundary lets people know that she recognizes the value that you add. So what I used to do, Whitney, is I used to be in a point where I was a people pleaser. I am now a recovering people pleaser. But in that, when I started exploring Dr. Henry Cloud's work on boundaries, I was able to understand how I wasn't recognizing my value, how I was trying to do the most and do everything for everybody whenever they asked so I could make them happy and be considered nice, that I wasn't seeing my value. So I began to use Dr. Henry Cloud's work on boundaries to start articulating, I can do this for you and under these parameters, or I can't do this for you and under these parameters. And what that did was it helped me recognize how valuable I was to myself. And then the weird thing is, when I put boundaries down, other people began to recognize my increased value and worth as well. So that I would recommend to anyone listening today to check out the work of Dr. Henry Cloud. He has several books on boundaries. All of them are great. And my mom and I actually heard him speak at a conference a few years ago, and we were looking at each other like, oh yes, go to the lobby and get the book right now. So check out that book, because once you're able to establish boundaries, then you will really begin to understand your value.
Absolutely. And I think boundaries are something that we should practice a lot more. With boundaries, I feel like just in my own personal life and in my career, I feel like once I established boundaries, things got a lot easier. So, you know, we had this conversation about value. We talked about self-worth. We looked at just kind of your journey to getting here. So I want to kind of fast forward a little bit to talk about, nah, I know my value. So if you just joined us for the first time, and welcome for those who are joining us, we talked a little bit earlier about how the term, nah, I know my value came to be. So Jacqueline, you know, you turned that term, or really you've coined it almost into a movement at this point. So talk about now I know my value and really what you want people to feel when they embrace that phrase.
Yeah, part of this goes back to that conversation that you and I had that day where when you created the logo. And for those of you who want to know what that logo looks like, if you click on my bio and go to the Twitter account, I tweeted the graphic for this conversation today. And on that is the logo that Whitney created. So what I was telling Whitney, and I'm paraphrasing because this conversation was years ago, I was telling her something to the effect of, I'm not doing X, Y, and Z. I'm not going to exhaust myself and be so tired and worn out so that I can please people and be a people pleaser. And what I was saying is, nah, I know my value. I'm not doing that stuff because I know I'm valuable. I don't have to overextend myself and work myself to the bone. And I used to believe this phrase that you got to work hard, hustle hard. And I think some people are debunking that now. But what I recognize is that what I do is unique. The services that my company offer are unique. And I don't have to be everything to everybody. I just simply have to be. Brené Brown has this quote that I love. She says, don't puff up, don't shrink, just show up and be seen. And when I really began to unpack what Brené Brown said, don't puff up, meaning don't walk in a room and try to make yourself bigger than who you are. Don't shrink. Don't walk into a room and think, oh my God, these people are so important, so I'm just going to be little old me and sit in the corner. What I do as a result of exploring Dr. Brené Brown's work is I'm able to just show up in any room and just be Jacqueline Twilley, be myself, and as a result of that, know my value. And anything that comes to me, even if it seems like a shiny, amazing thing, when it comes to me, I'm able to say, nah, I know my value. I'm passing on that because I'm just showing up and I'm being who I am. And so the other parts of that, Whitney, is the now I know my value that people are now taking and is becoming a movement is much larger than what I originally thought when I put it out into the world, because I had women write to me and say, hey, I was in an engagement to be married and I knew it wasn't right, but I was at that age where you're supposed to get married. And so when I started exploring the work of now I know my value and going through that course, I was able to say, nah, like you deserve better and I deserve better. I know my value. I deserve to have all the things I want in life. And then with people who were signing up to do extra work at work, maybe taking on an extra job and doing diversity work that they weren't getting paid for, what I began to see is that women were starting to get to the point where they were saying, nah, like, if I want to do this work, then I will transition my job title and be paid appropriately for that. I know my value, so I'm not going to do all of the things just to make people happy.
Absolutely. And that's something that you should not do. I think it's very interesting with now I know my value because, again, you know, it goes back to knowing your worth. You said something earlier that I thought was really important. I think that we're able to create the world, create the life that we want when it comes to, again, first knowing what exactly you do value, right? Because once you understand, you know, what you think your value is worth, you can't let anyone else project what they think that you're worth. So I really love that. And I'm curious, Jacqueline, are there any moments like, you know, and if you can just give specific examples, I think that would be very helpful for those who are listening. Are there moments where you should say, now I know my value? Like, when do you have those moments to where you have to back away?
Yes, there are moments where you should say, nah, I know my value. And this comes into understanding your boundaries. So when it comes to, and I'll say it in the context of a negotiation, in the latte method that I teach when it comes to negotiating, the third step is think about your walkaway point. And you have to know at what point you should walk away or pump the brakes in any negotiation. The same goes for in life. Now, I preface often that, nah, I know my value is not a clapback. It's not like, nah, I ain't doing that. You got to go. It's not an ultimatum. What it is an expression of self-love. So in moments where you feel like you have to share boundaries, and again, boundaries are a great thing. When you have to express those boundaries and articulate them, those are moments where you say to yourself, nah, I know my value. Now, on the flip side of that, if you have to tell somebody, nah, I know my value, that can also be appropriate, but that's a case-by-case situation where you have to put in some stronger boundaries and say, I'm putting my foot down, I can't do that, nah, I know my value, and be well.
Yes, and I think that, and I'm glad you brought up your latte method. I know you talked about your latte method extensively in your most recent book, Don't Leave Money on the Table. And speaking of books, I know that you're an avid collector of resources, so we're talking a lot about some of these things today. And for some, this might be something that's brand new, and for others, this might be something that they want to expand. Can you kind of give us maybe some books or podcasts or resources that people can look to really expand on this topic of understanding their value and worth?
Yes, such a good question. You know, I'm a bookworm, so I'm always down to give book recommendations. One of the first books that was pivotal for me is Barbara Stanny's book, Secrets of Six-Figure Women. And that's not a get-rich book, y'all. That book is a book that talks about the mindset of women who are under-earners and the mindset of women who are over-earners. In Barbara's book, there was a line that stuck with me that really helped me to get to the point where I could say, nah, I know my value. She says, you have to feel the fear and do it anyway. A lot of times when you're setting boundaries and you're getting new to how to use your boundary muscle, you might be fearful. If you're like me, a recovering people pleaser, you don't want to hurt people's feelings. You want people to think well of you. And that just really grips you. It is a fear that can be paralyzing. So to break out of that, what you'll have to do is feel the fear and do it anyway. And again, I say this so much that now I know my value is not a clapback. It is an expression of self-love. And as a result of that expression of self-love, you can say, now I know my value. So pick up Barbara Stanny's book, The Secrets of Six-Figure Women. Another book that I would recommend is Carol Dweck's book. She's a psychologist. The book Mindset, The New Psychology of Success, explores the growth mindset and the fixed mindset, a mindset of where you have a challenge and you say, I'm doomed, or you have a challenge and you say, I haven't figured it out yet, the key word being yet. So that's Dr. Carol Dweck, D-W-E-C-K. The book is titled Mindset. And I'll give you one more book in that list that I find to be extremely valuable. And it's a new book. It just came out a few months ago. It's by Lovie Ajayi Jones, Professional Troublemaker, The Fear Fighter Manual. In her book, she has two chapters about negotiating and about money. And also an undercurrent of both chapters and throughout the whole book is knowing your value. So those would be the three books that I recommend for. All right, so that wraps up our conversation. Thank you for listening. And again, I want to extend the invitation for you to join us on the Women Who Negotiate Club on Clubhouse. The invitation link is in the show notes for this episode. Well, right when the episode cut off, I shared a couple of podcasts that I listened to. So Whitney's podcast, the Pink Lemonade podcast, is definitely top of my list. I also shared that I listened to Mileke Till's podcast. And of course, I love this podcast, Winning Season Community. So I wanted to share that with you all as we wrap up this episode. If you found this episode valuable, please share it with a friend. And if you have like 20 seconds, head over to Apple and leave a rating and a review for this podcast episode. All right, family, until next time, continue to emulate excellence and eliminate excuses.